Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
George Washington borrowed a book entitled The Law of Nations from the New York Society Library during his first term as President of the United States. And he never returned the book. And they never asked for the book, because after all, he was the father of our country. And so, for 221 years, that book sat on a shelf at Mount Vernon. Until one day, why or how, I don't really know, but the staff at Mount Vernon recognized the book, they drew their attention to it, and they pulled it off the shelf and they looked at it and saw that it had been overdue for about 221 years. So they contacted the staff of what is now known as the New York Public Library and found out that the overdue fine was going to cost a little over $300,000. That's what the estate of President George Washington technically owed. But in a very gracious move, the librarian, Mark Bartlett, decided that he would forgive the debt. Well, I tell you that story because that's one of the meanings of the word forgive in the Bible. One of the meanings of that word is to cancel a debt, to release someone from what they owe. Another preacher told me this story. One of his members called him and asked if he could visit with him. And of course he said yes. And he said, when I drove up and I saw the man, he was literally stooped over. He looked like he was weighed down with the cares of the world. He was carrying a load. You could see it on him. And as they talked, what he found out was that this man had made some pretty bad business decisions, and he was in debt to the tune of about $1 million, and he didn't have a clue what he was going to do about it. And he was literally slumped over and carrying that weight of debt on his shoulders. Some of you know what it feels like to carry a weight. Some of you know what it feels like to carry a weight of debt that you owe someone. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." The preacher who told me that story said that he visited with the man, he prayed with the man. If he had $1 million, he said, I would have given it to him. I didn't. But he said, I walked away wondering, what would it be like for that man if the president of that bank called him up and said, you know what? We've decided to forgive your debt. Now, that would be pretty remarkable. It would also be pretty unthinkable, not because banks are mean, but because debt doesn't just go away. Debt doesn't just disappear. Somebody always has to pay the debt. Somebody has to absorb the debt, even if they forgive it. And somebody ends up taking the loss. We've spent some time this last week talking about the fact that outside of Jesus Christ, we are in debt, we are in bondage to sin. And the Bible talks about sin this way. Sin is a power that is in opposition to God, that enslaves us and weighs us down. Sin is something that we carry around. And I have been at the bedside of men and women who were scared and worried and in incredible anxiety because of their sin debt. And they did not know what to do with it before they met their Maker. They were anxious, they were worried, they were scared. They wanted to deal with this weight that they felt before they passed on. And I remember one lady very specifically. I'll never forget this lady. She had been in church all her life, which made it all the more sad. She had been in church all her life. And as I went to her bed in the hospital, and she knew and her family knew that she was about to die, she was so afraid, and she was crying and she was moaning. She was so afraid. She wanted to talk about forgiveness. She wanted forgiveness for her sins. She was so aware of her sins. And so I said that I would pray with her. And as she was laying in that hospital bed, I leaned over her. She looked up at me. She raised her hands up, and I took her hands and I prayed with her. And I asked that God would forgive her. And I asked that she would know that forgiveness and feel that forgiveness. And when we finished, I said amen. And she said amen. And she held onto my hands and she looked up at me. And she said to me, "You know, I didn't really like you when you first came here." I guess that in that moment of confession, she just wanted to get that one off her chest as well. Now, we can laugh at the line, but we can't laugh at the situation. And it's a situation that too many Christians find themselves in. Too many who are in Christ, but don't know the rich blessing that is theirs. Paul writes about it here in Ephesians. Because I want to say to any of you who are feeling the weight of the debt of your sin, that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, the debt has been paid. The debt has been taken care of. And folks, you, if you are in Christ, you can reach the end of your life, imperfect as your life will have been, you can reach the end of your life with joy and peace and expectation rather than dread and fear and tears. Amen. And it's not because of us. It's not because we will have lived a sinless life. It is because Jesus lived a sinless life and was therefore the worthy and perfect sacrifice. And that He literally took on His body the weight of our sin, and it weighed Him down as He hung on the cross. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's one of the incredible gifts overflowing into our lives in the heavenly and spiritual realms. If you want to follow along this morning on your outline, we have one of those for you again. And the great weight of our debt owed to God has been forgiven. The great weight of our debt that is owed to God has been forgiven. It has been absorbed. Because see, debts don't just go away. They don't just disappear. They are taken on. They are absorbed. They are paid for in the end. And someone else absorbed our debt. Someone else took the loss. Someone else paid the price. His name is Jesus. And we praise Him. And we worship Him. And we honor Him. Because in Him we have forgiveness of sins. What I want to spend the rest of the time talking about is that is true. That is absolutely true. If you are in Christ, it is true for you today. How is it going to affect the way that you live? The fact that you're forgiven, How does that affect the way that we live? And the first thing I want to say is that I view my trials and adversities in a different light when I know and experience and believe and live like I'm forgiven. I view my trials and my adversities in a different light. Because too many people who go through very difficult times in their lives believe that God is punishing them. They believe that God is angry at them. They know that they're a sinner and they think they're getting what they deserve, that God is punishing for them for their sins. But I want to use this analogy with you. If you have had a small child, or if you have a small child in your home and you've got the burner on the stove on and that little boy or girl gets near to that stove, what are you going to do? You're going to tell them, don't touch that stove. You may even swat their hand so they'll make sure to know not to touch that stove. Now, do you tell them not to touch that stove just because you don't want to get them to have the wonderful experience of touching a stove because it's so much fun? Do you tell them not to touch the stove? No, you tell them not to touch the stove because you know better than they do that it's going to hurt. It's going to burn. That our little hands were not created to handle that kind of heat. And when God warns us, when God teaches us, when God disciplines us, when God tells us not to do something or to stay away from something, He does it not to be mean, not to keep us from experiencing something that's going to be wonderful. He does it because He knows we weren't created to handle that kind of pain, that kind of sin. And so it helps me view my trials in a different light. And when you do those things and go those places that God's told us not to go, we are going to suffer consequences. And it isn't, again, because God is mad at us or that He's punishing us. It's because the pain you experience is a consequence of the sin you committed. Now, not every time you suffer in the world is because of your sin. Sometimes you face the consequences and experience the pain of someone else's sin. Because your sin affects other people and other people's sin affects you. And sometimes we suffer because of sin just because we live in a fallen world. It's covered up in sin. Under the curse of sin. Not under the curse of God, under the curse of sin. And so when you're in adversity and when you're in difficulty and when you're in suffering and when you're in pain, I beg you not to let your first inclination be to blame God or to think that He's paying you back. Because see, God doesn't pay back for sin. How do I know that? Because Jesus has already paid for it. God doesn't make you suffer for your sin. Because Jesus has already suffered for it. And God isn't holding your sins against you because they've already been held against Jesus. And so, because you are forgiven, you can experience and you can view your trials and circumstances in this life from a different and proper perspective. The second thing that you can do if you live in this kind of forgiveness is that you can rest in God's grace. Would you just take a deep breath with me for a minute? And just rest in God's grace. We got to keep Hudson yesterday, and he spent the night with us last night. And do you know this kid sleeps for 12 hours? We put him down at 7 last night and got him up at 7 this morning. That is half of your day in bed. But do you know that because he rested for 12 hours, for the other 12, he plays nonstop? And we played ball about 12 hours yesterday, it felt like. And we crawled and we chased. And I don't even know how I got up these stairs this morning, but I did it. No, I was just thinking about that this morning, and I was thinking about this point. What for that little one-year-old boy, what does 12 hours rest do for him? Oh my goodness, it's exponential what 12 hours of rest does for him, because he's growing on every level. Almost you can watch it before your eyes as he's growing physically and emotionally and mentally. And then he's just able to live and have fun and play and crawl and chase and learn to walk and do everything. He does that because he rests. And I think that's such a beautiful analogy, because we need desperately, for our own sake, to rest in God's grace. Just be there for a while. Just experience. Just know the safety and the security and the comfort and the joy and the peace and the goodness and the love of being in the arms of God. And when we rest in His grace and know His forgiveness, oh my goodness, think about how we will grow and develop and mature and change and thrive and live. And so when we are forgiven, we can rest in God's grace. All through Scripture, we're taught about God's grace. From the beginning to the end, God is rich in grace. Micah chapter 7 says, Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Did you hear that your Father delights in grace? He delights in mercy. Do you know what it means when someone delights in doing something? They enjoy doing it. It brings them great pleasure. It brings your Father great pleasure to forgive you and to show you mercy and to hold you in grace. He doesn't pardon our sins in a begrudging way. He delights in doing it because He loves us. Because He lavishes His grace and mercy on us. You know that the woman in the Gospels who Jesus said, forever, your name and story is going to be remembered. Do you remember what she did? She lavished her love on Jesus by pouring out this incredibly expensive bottle of perfume. And she anointed Him and honored Him. She lavished that on Him. I can just tell you, I would have been one of the apostles standing over here by Judas, who was the money keeper. And Judas is the one who kind of led them in this. I promise you, I would have been there looking down my nose at her saying, doesn't she know that money could have been spent better somewhere else? But that's not what Jesus thought. Because Jesus knows what a delight it is to lavish grace and mercy and love on us. And what that means in terms of our resting in God's grace is this. Folks, you're not going to get to heaven. We use that phrase, that concept. You're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to be with God. You're not going to experience the joys of eternity by barely getting by. You're not going to get there by the skin of your teeth. Because that's not the way God works. When God saves, He saves to the uttermost. When God forgives, He forgives as far as the east is from the west. When God gives grace and mercy, He doesn't just portion it out in pennies and quarters. He lavishes it on us. And He delights in doing it. And so rest in God's grace. I have this picture in my mind that I've kind of created, but I get it from a verse in the Bible. So hang with me and see what you think about this. It comes from Ephesians. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2. I think that God in heaven has a trophy case. And I think that God in heaven puts His greatest treasures and achievements and wins and victories in His trophy case so that He can show them to the entire cosmos and universe. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 is where I get this. And this is in the context of talking about the fact that He has saved us, that He is raising us up, He is seating us at the right hand of Christ in the heavenly realms. And then verse 7 says, He does all that. He saved you. He raises you up. He seats you with Christ in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. See, I think that in the coming ages, God's going to have this trophy case and He's just going to parade the heavenly bodies and everything in the cosmos in front of His trophy case, and He's going to show what He has done. And do you know what is in His trophy case? It's you. You're His greatest accomplishment. You are the one that He formed and shaped and molded and made. You're His creation. And then even though you and I turned from Him and rebelled from Him and have not lived according to the way He wanted us to live, but in Jesus Christ, He has saved us. He has rescued us. And we are His greatest achievement. See, that's what we've got to see about God. He delights. His greatest achievements, His trophy case isn't full of people He has conquered. It isn't full of people He has destroyed. It's full of people He has saved, that He has rescued, because He delighted in lavishing His grace upon us. And so, brothers and sisters, rest in God's grace. A couple of more things to do as we live knowing that we're forgiven. One is give thanks continually. Let praise and thanksgiving and gratitude be ever on your lips. Let the very first thing you do in the morning when you get out of bed, before your feet touch the ground, let praise and thanksgiving be the first thing on your mind and the first thing off your lips, because of the God who is so loving and wonderful and graceful and forgiving, who has saved you and given you another day. And then as the day goes on, let every moment be a moment of gratitude and thanksgiving. This God who so lavishes grace on us, let us lavish praise and thanksgiving on Him. And the fourth thing, what do we do because all this is true? How do we live? The Bible teaches us that we live to pay it forward. See, this isn't all about us. This isn't gifts we have received just so we can sit and grovel in them and wallow in them and just feel so good about ourselves. No, what God wants us to do when we realize the depths of His love and grace and mercy and forgiveness is He wants us to treat other people the way that He has treated us. He wants us to be as forgiving to them as He has been for us, as kind to them as He has been to us, as compassionate and understanding to them as He has been to us. And so we pay it forward. See, the world just teaches us that if somebody does you wrong, then you get them back. But that's not the way of the Lord. If somebody does us wrong, we turn the other cheek, we forgive. We show grace. Paul spends the first part of Ephesians explaining these great truths about God in Christ. And then he spends the second part talking about how we live out those truths. And so in chapter 1, verse 7, he tells us that in Christ we have forgiveness of sins. But then in chapter 4, verse 32, he says that because we have this forgiveness, we should do what? We should forgive each other. He's teaching the church. He's discipling the church. This is what it's like to be in Christ. You have forgiveness. This is what it's like to be in relationship with other people. You show forgiveness. He goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So because we are forgiven, we forgive. We do that for each other. But it goes even further than that, because when you forgive, because God forgave you, it's not just paying it forward here on earth. You're paying it forward in heaven. And it's an act of worship to God. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Folks, that's worship language. Sacrifice and offering. Fragrant. It's reminiscent of the sacrifices that were made at the temple, because that's how you got forgiveness before Jesus. You had to sacrifice an animal in a temple, and it cost you something. That was the point of it. And it cost that animal life's blood. That was the point of it. But Jesus Himself made that sacrifice, and it cost Him something. And it cost Him His life's blood. And when He made that sacrifice, it was a fragrant offering that went up to God. And in the same way, when you make that sacrifice, and when you forgive someone else, and when you treat them and react to them the way that God has treated you and reacted to you, it is a sacrifice. It costs you something to do it. And it goes up to God, and He smells that offering, and it's worship. And so paying it forward isn't just this catchphrase. There's deep meaning to it. Because it blesses other people and it blesses God. So, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. And it can and it will change the way you live. If you'll live in Christ and live in that forgiveness and in that grace. And I want to give you a chance to respond this morning. And I hope that you do have an outline somewhere near you that you can take, because I've written three questions on your outline. And I want you just to take a few minutes this morning to answer one or all those questions. Answer one now, answer some more later, however you want to do that. But just take a few moments this morning and reflect on this idea of forgiveness. We're going to have about a minute or so of silence, and then as you continue that, there are going to be words to a song on a screen. You're going to hear the song. It's called Healing Grace. And then I'll get up with one last thought. So just reflect on these questions and then reflect on the healing grace that we have in Jesus.
Merciful God and Father, love us like no other. Hear our prayer, the cry of our hearts, as we come to You. We acknowledge our transgressions. We confess to You our sins. Show us mercy and compassion. Touch our lives with Your healing grace again. Release us from the past as we seek Your us free at last. We receive Your love. We receive Your healing grace. We receive Your love. We receive Your merciful God and loving us like no other. Hear our prayer, the cry of our hearts, as we come to transgressions. We confess to you our sins. Show us mercy and compassion. Touch our lives with your healing grace again. Release us from as we seek your face. Wash us free at last. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. We receive your grace.
With that thought in mind, we're going to move into our communion, our remembrance of Jesus when he paid that price, when he made that sacrifice, and when he paid that debt. And Steve Kaiser is going to lead us in prayer in just a few minutes. And while he's making his way up here, I just want to connect back to that beginning of our sermon when we talked about debt. Because when Jesus was on the cross, some of his last words were translated, "It is finished," very often. It was a Greek word. And what it meant in the business world was paid in full. When someone had owed a debt, but it had been paid, there was a stamp. It said, paid in full, tetelestai. That's what Jesus said on the cross. And so for those of us who are in Christ, we have stamped on our lives, tetelestai, paid in full, because Jesus paid the debt.